Fishnet here, and welcome to Inside Albania with me, Alice Taylor. Today I have a very special guest in the studio, the Ambassador of the UK to Albania, Alistair King-Smith. Good afternoon, welcome to Inside Albania.
Alison, it's a great pleasure to be with you here on Inside Albania.
And you know, I hope you don't mind me saying, but do you remember our first conversation? It was, I'd had my own little podcast, audio only, that I'd recorded sort of in my living room, and you'd heard it and we talked about that. And now it's really nice to have you in this podcast on Albanian television. It's an honour.
No, well, thank you. And I always listen to Inside Albania, so it's great that you're able to bring to life some of the stories and the beauty of Albania as well. And we last met actually on Remembrance Day, and it was quite a special moment of reflection, but also to show how, as we were doing it together with the Germans, people can overcome divides. And now we're at a special moment because it's actually 1 year on since the joint communique that we celebrated between the UK and Albania. So it's great to be with you at such a special time.
And it was also interesting, last year on Remembrance Sunday, so not the one just gone, the one before, when there was a bit of a discourse between the UK and Albania, and it was really poignant to have so many members of the Albanian government and society here with you as well, members of the British community and the German one together. For me, I think I wrote an article about it for your active, talking about how this was a really interesting and important thing to do.
And I think that's exactly the role of diplomats, and what as ambassador try and do is to bring people together and find common solutions.
Now, going into our first topic, which is something that I found very, very interesting. While looking through Instagram, I came across an initiative of the British Embassy, or some people within the British Embassy, called the Women in Uniform Association. Now, I saw that this was described as a project to support women in law enforcement and the military in institutions in Albania. But can you tell me a bit more about this?
Absolutely. So we have a very wide programme now between our two governments, and that spans from issues around home affairs and justice to issues around economic development to education and culture. But one of the things that's unusual in Albania is we probably have one of the best partnerships operationally. In fact, I describe it as, you know, Albania is our best partner operationally. And my embassy has a lot of colleagues from law enforcement, from our police, from our customs, from our prosecution service and others. And one of the things we realise as well, because we've got a very strong defence relationship, our two militaries work very closely together bilaterally, but also in NATO. Albania is a really important partner, particularly on Ukraine at the moment, but also on other issues. And what I realised is actually we've got a lot of different colleagues working with uniformed services. And one of my colleagues from Customs said, well, look, why don't we actually see what support we can give to women so that as they progress through those services, they're given the support they need. And as we looked into this, we realised that actually there were quite a number of issues, and we faced that in the United Kingdom, but where both some of our colleagues could share their experiences, but also we listened to what women were saying in the uniformed services. And that's why we've now created this new association, the Women in Uniform Association.
And what were their issues? What were the problems that they encountered?
So some of these issues were visible ones. I mean, so things like, for example, for some of the services, uniforms weren't designed bespoke for women. In fact, in one of the services, women were expected to wear high heels, even on operations. That obviously wasn't enabling them to do the jobs in the way that they wanted. So there's been, you know, even small practical things like changing those sorts of things. Now, that's actually going to require a change in regulations as well, but will then enable more women to do operational roles in the way they want. One of the issues was actually physical self-defence training, because actually women were being told, oh, well, you know, you aren't able to do certain of the more physical jobs. And now actually we've trained, I think it was 84 individual women from all the different uniformed services to be able to have that self-defence training. And in fact, we even now have a request for men for more self-defence training.
So it's a really good... women teaching them.
Exactly. And that's exactly it, because actually the whole point of that was to be trainers, training for trainers. So that can be spread throughout the services. One of the other things I've been really pleased about was to get the top level support from all the services. So whether men or women, the top leadership of all these services agree that we need to do more. Because obviously in any of our systems, barriers for any individual group we need to look at those, address them. One of the other things was the sort of support that, that can be given in health, in different ways that we can support the sort of products and discounts that we can get from others that help women to progress more effectively, but also to give profile. And we just had a wonderful moment, a conference where we brought together not just women in uniformed services here in Albania, but also from across the region, the Western Balkans region. And actually, this initiative is now going to, we think, flourish across the region, but really led by the experience in Albania.
This is interesting. So it started in Albania and it could potentially go across the whole region.
That's right. And actually, one of the things I'm really pleased about, this is at a time when the British government is really championing internationally how we support women and girls across the world. And so that's one of the things that I'm now encouraging all of my teams to think about for the next year, is how we can really embed that across all our programmes. People talk about mainstreaming gender issues, but also having bespoke programmes like this where that's needed.
But what about encouraging women to join the armed forces? You know, these are, I imagine, very fulfilling, very interesting, very exciting. I don't think I'm physically sort of cut out for this kind of thing, but, you know, I imagine it's a very rewarding job, but I also, having been in Albania for 6 years, can imagine, particularly outside of Tirana, that if a woman said, you know, I'm going to join the army, people in her family may not look so kindly on that. Is there an element of sort of help empowering women to actually take that step and join these industries?
So it's a good suggestion, because obviously people feeling that actually they can apply and be considered equally as part of this, but also then having the recruitment focus as well. It's a good suggestion. We'll need to take that forward with colleagues to really consider it. I think it's one of the areas that's not easy to do, because you want to be open and equal, as well as then promoting the opportunities. But one of the things we will be able to do, we've been discussing with the Ministry of Defence and the Armed Forces, for example, how to do more recruitment drives in the north as part of our support for economic development in the north. So that's one of the areas where we could also look at this.
But I think even having this initiative, and you have an Instagram account, you post about it in both languages, I think this serves as an advert in a way, you know, for women to go, look at this initiative they have. Maybe that is part of it.
And part of it,
well,
and then also it's promoting the role models.
Yes.
And one of the things I'm delighted to see is how women have been talking about how they have succeeded, whether that's in the military, whether that's in the police or elsewhere. So that's something we'll continue to do.
Yes. And this, again, breaks down stigmas and normalises it. So, and you mentioned just now projects in the north, which brings me on to the next point, the New Perspectives project in Caucasus. Now, I saw a fascinating thread on Twitter about this underground sort of city network of tunnels and bunkers, which I definitely want to try and go to. It sounds really interesting. But how the British Embassy is involved in a project which aims to encourage economic growth and tourism and provide opportunities in this part of the country, which has been rather depopulated. Tell me about this project.
So the British government focuses on the whole of Albania. We obviously want to see Albania successful and all Albanians successful. But I think everyone is aware that actually there has generally been an underinvestment in the north. And that's one of the reasons why actually now we have such a close connection between the UK and Albania through the communities that we have in the UK. We have hundreds of thousands of Albanians in the UK living there legally, contributing to British society, but many of them hail from the north, particularly the Caucasus and Dibra regions. But we want to look at the whole of the north and really support economic development. Now, one of the ways for that actually is to look at some of the really amazing, extraordinary assets that the north has. Now, obviously, we're aware of the wonderful, beautiful mountains, the rivers. I think there's a lot of tourism potential, the agriculture, the chestnuts, the fruit.
It's my favourite part of Albania.
And I think some commentators have actually said that, of course, the coast is a wonderful asset for future tourism for Albania. The mountains are
exceptional. Because it's all year round. You can go there all year round and enjoy such a variety of things, whereas the coast is seasonal, really, unless you're very brave.
And then those of us who come from overseas, one of the things we learn is the unusual aspect of 173,000 bunkers around Albania. But I hadn't realised until people showed me that there is this entire city underground in Caucasus, and that is a very interesting asset which is not yet exploited. It's been neglected, but actually in discussion with the municipality, we agreed that actually we would use some of our Ministry of Defence and military surveyors to come out and help survey this network of underground tunnels, because of course we need the map of it. And it goes down really deep. It has an underground hospital, a bakery, all sorts of other things that used to be there. And actually, I think this can be used in a number of different ways. Now, it will be for the municipality, the government of Albania, to decide how to do this. So whether there is further support we do, I suspect our British and NATO militaries might enjoy playing around in tunnels and actually exercising properly how to do operations underground, but whether they decide to do that. But otherwise, economically, I think the development in terms of tourism could have huge opportunities. It will be a unique thing.
Yes. Is it bigger than the underground complex Bunker 1 in Tirana?
Yeah, oh, massively.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, that is quite a number of tunnels and corridors, but actually this is a whole underground city.
Is it possible to visit? Like, I'd like to put this in my book that I'm writing, you know?
We could definitely take that forward separately and see how to do it. Because, I mean, at the moment it's only at the early mapping stage, but we're committed to continuing that, and I discussed it with the Chief of Defence and others recently, so it will be an ongoing effort over the coming year.
This is so interesting. I wonder how many other hidden, secret, forgotten sites there are in Albania that we're yet to realise the potential of. Okay, so, but what else in Kukiz, what other sort of initiatives, you mentioned Dibra as well, are you working on in the north, aside from this? I've seen lots of posts on Facebook over the last year in particular in this region.
So there are some things that we're doing directly through the programme support we're giving to communities in the north, and the aim there is obviously to help provide skills, job opportunities, grow the business environment there, attract people to the region, whether to visit, to study, to work, obviously starting from a low base. And then there are also things where we can encourage other partners to join in as well. Already, we've been able to set up a number of centres. There are now youth entrepreneurship spaces. We've opened one in Kukiz. There'll be others opening in the rest of Kukiz region, in Dibra, and we'll look at how we can support that so that young people have spaces where they can discuss these issues, find out information about what job opportunities are available, what are their different life choices. We're also launching programmes with schools through the British Council. We've done a lot previously on coding skills, problem solving, critical thinking. We're looking at how we can expand those in the north with schools across the region. We're also providing grants for businesses, small businesses, so that individuals can start up businesses and then employ people. And we've already provided around 50 grants and more to come. Obviously, that takes time to grow the sort of ecosystem for businesses to flourish. But that's going to be really crucial if then Albania is going to exploit not just tourism and agriculture, but also services, whether it's pharmacies, whether it's small shops, other ways of actually boosting the business environment in the region. We're also looking at coaching and mentoring for young people, how to then approach the sort of life skills that we all need to be successful. And already we've provided support to about 225 young people, and also another on the micro business mentoring, and another 585 young people from coaching and mentoring will benefit by March this coming year.
My question was going to be, you know, how have people responded to it? But from the figures you've just mentioned, it seems that people are very receptive to this kind of project and initiative.
So it's really interesting. I think I've gone around the north, as you'll have seen, and I'm sure you have too, and met lots of young people, and it's always inspiring. And I find when you talk to school children, university students, you hear the wonderful aspirations that young people have. One of the things I find in the north is actually up to a certain age, maybe around 12 or 13, you have the same sort of aspirations as most youngsters. A little bit older, and many of them that get sucked into this aspect of people in the UK say, oh, why don't you come here? Sometimes seeing the TikTok videos that have been out there showing a misrepresentation of the realities and pulling people in. Mm-hmm. And this is where then the problem of illegal migration has come up. And that's one of the reasons that we're investing, particularly in the north, is that we see that youngsters are being exploited by traffickers. Yes. And so as well as the joint work, and we can come back to that, we've just had the Interior Minister in London, the joint work we're doing on law enforcement and collaborating to really crack down on the trafficking networks and the criminal gangs, we need to support young people so they have alternatives, but also to help them understand that what they're seeing being portrayed is not the reality. We're also seeing a lot of youngsters coming back. If you go illegally, basically, you will be back here before you know it. So over 4,600 people have been returned so far since the joint communique we signed a year ago. But also the numbers have really come down, as you probably know. So I'm really pleased that we're now 90% down compared to the 12,000 or more Albanians who went last year, under 1,000 this year. But still, anyone going illegally is subjecting themselves to a real difficult situation. And my appeal to any youngster, any family member who it sees that someone might be considering going illegally is don't.
Yes.
We also have legal options for going to the UK to study, to work. We've even opened a visa application centre in the north to make it easier for people to go and to show that the UK is open to business. But people should use those legal routes. We've also opened up new opportunities. So, for example, in construction, we've actually got now a special route for anyone around the world, but Albanians can benefit particularly because, as you may know, many of the businesses in the UK dealing with construction are now Albanian run. And actually, this is a real positive. Albanians have become the best construction workers, decorators, plumbers, others, and are really filling an essential part of the UK market. So our message is twofold. If you're going to go, go legally, use these opportunities that exist. But if you see opportunities in Albania, use those. There are some wonderful opportunities to study and work, and we will be there with you. We've also launched a British Business Chamber, and they've also already sponsored a number of scholarships here in Albania. And we want to see more scholarships. We want to see businesses providing scholarships, providing internships as well.
This is great. I didn't know about these new visa routes. This is very important, and I will ask about that a bit later on. But yes, it's something, you know, I'm British, and people always tell me, multiple times a week, you're coming here, but all of us want to go there. And I'm like, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And if you're going to take a shortcut, this is especially true. But actually, I want to talk about this next. Now, this time last year, I think both you and I were suffering quite a few headaches over what was happening in terms of migration. You mentioned there was a huge amount of Albanian people going to the UK illegally. Now, things are better now, thankfully, and I hope that this stays up. Is it just the UK's measures that were put in place that have sort of stemmed this flow, or has the Albanian government had a part in this as well?
So we've taken a holistic approach to this, and the partnership with the Albanian government is absolutely crucial. You know, as we know, with these complex issues that flow across borders, you can only tackle them by collaboration. On illegal migration, as I say, the 90% drop in Albanians going to the UK last year compared to then this year is a really positive move. And part of that is down to the joint collaboration. We have a joint migration task force now that's operational here with our police and other agencies working together. That is helping to focus on the trafficking networks to reduce the individuals who are being exploited and going to the UK. And then we're really working together to make sure that we tackle this end to end in terms of prevention, in terms of discouraging people and deterring people from going, and then dealing with things when people are actually on those journeys.
And I think it's important, you know, it's nice that the British government is doing a lot on the ground here as well to nurture youth, to encourage them to stay, to see opportunities here, because it's something I struggle with a lot. You know, they want to go to the UK, and I can understand, you know, the salaries are not great here. But like if my daughter was to get to 17, 18, say I want to leave, you know, I'd be heartbroken. I want people to stay and try and make the best thing they can. Because if everybody leaves, who's going to be here to build a future?
You know, this is also why it's so important that if people go, they go legally. Because actually, you know, young people often want to have study opportunities abroad work opportunities abroad. We recognise that. We want to give people the options here. So as you say, people have the choices here. They know what those choices are. There are actually a lot of opportunities. I mean, for example, I was just down in Vlora and the mayor there was explaining to me how actually there are so many opportunities in both the tourism and other sectors in Vlora. Well, why not make more linkages across Albania so that youngsters who want those opportunities can benefit from them more? And actually, a lot of different industries are having a difficulty with skills shortages. So we can all invest in that much more, and again through collaboration. But we can also help people, if they do wish to go and have a positive opportunity.
Yes. Now, I want to ask you as well, this time last year, it was tough, you know, this debate that was going on in the media. And I wanted to ask you, you know, you've been here for several years now, you have Albanian friends, Albanian colleagues. How was it for you trying to deal with that? I mean, I'm talking about the rhetoric in the British media, you know, which was very harsh. It was very harsh towards Albanians. How did that make you feel? How did you deal with that on a personal level as well?
So look, I mean, obviously, as you say, it's been a difficult summer. Last summer, what I'm really pleased about is through the joint efforts by the two governments, but also the communities, we've really been able to turn around yes. the situation. The Albanian community in the UK, the large proportion are there legally contributing to British society. I've been talking to Albanian professors who are leading the way on university partnerships and academic excellence. I've been talking to businessmen. I've been talking to others in the UK, school teachers, a whole right range of professionals who are a fundamental part of British society. We need to nurture that. We need to intensify those links, and that will, I think, be a really important part of the future relationships between the UK and Albania. But there was a problem, including harsh rhetoric. There was discriminatory language used in the media, and that's not something that we wish to see against any community. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that Britain is known for is its approach to tolerance and acceptance and inclusion. And we want to make sure that Albanians, just as any other community or minority, are treated fairly, justly, and equally. And that's the approach that we'll continue to take. So I've definitely, on a personal basis as ambassador, really made sure that I've highlighted these issues where they've occurred and put those into the relevant parts of the British system. And what I'm really pleased to see is that clearly, you know, the government has clearly focused on, you know, we must focus on the positives, we must address any issues, and then move forward in collaboration. And what I'm delighted about now, 1 year on from our joint communique last December, we're really seeing this joint operational collaboration move into its next mode. I mean, Albania is now our best partner internationally, our best partner operationally, and we've really had an extraordinary impact in both countries through this joint yes. collaboration.
I mean, yeah, if we look 1 year ago and then today, I mean, it's a huge difference. I want to talk to you about the agreement that was signed with Talan Bala. Can you, so I mean, in the press release I got, it said to work in areas to do with organised crime, corruption, narcotics, and of course migration, trafficking, etc. But can you give me a bit more information on what this means concretely?
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is a really important part of our agreement. This is within the context of the joint communique that the two prime ministers signed last year. This statement of cooperation will mean that we can exchange police operational efforts. We will be intensifying what we do through the Joint Migration Task Force. We'll be looking at how we can support the transformation within the police. We see that there is a new energy being put in to helping, as the minister puts it, the police to self-cleanse. We know there's been a lot of focus on justice reform, which has been a very important and successful part of the judiciary and the prosecution services becoming very effective, and we're continuing to support that and want to see more effort there. But of course, the police are a fundamental part of that too. And you'll be seeing some new, some very positive new news about actually how we and the UK Home Office and police services view the Albanian State Police now as a really positive partner to work together with. That's a real transformation compared to a couple of years ago yes. when I arrived. And I'm really pleased that that's going to be a really important plank for the future.
And I saw as well the UK has delivered or is about to deliver some prison vehicles to Albania. And I had read as well that there was going to be funding for other matters within the prison system. We know that Albanian prisons are at capacity. There are problems with medical assistance inside, with the food, with the heating or lack of. I mean, they are very basic conditions. Obviously, this is not the UK's responsibility, but I'm wondering, aside from the vehicles, is there any other initiatives that are going to be focused on the prison conditions here?
So I think this is a really interesting example of how, when the two governments put their minds to it, in a very short space of time, we can achieve really positive results. So it was only May that we signed the agreement between our two ministers of justice to agree that because the number of Albanians in UK jails, unfortunately, is one of the highest percentages in terms of foreign national offenders in the UK, and like here, British jails are full. And so the agreement that we have already, we were able to intensify to enable the transfer of up to 200 prisoners over the next couple of years so that they can be closer to families and to be supported. But you're quite right that part of the Albanian prison estate is old, needs changes, the system needs renovating. And so part of this agreement is that the British government will now be the closest partner for Albania on the reform and modernisation of the prison service and prisons across Albania. And I'm really pleased to see that already we've had the transfer of vehicles, as you say, to enable the prison service to operate more effectively, make sure prisoners can be transferred in safe environments between prisons and courts and so on, but also to make sure that the standards in prisons are improved. We've just had the governor of Belmarsh prison, our most important high security prison in the UK out here. She attended the ceremony that we did together with the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Justice just last week, and she was very impressed at the standards in the newer prisons, but clearly could see the issues in the older prisons. And that's why this collaboration is so important. So we will be bringing and continuing to bring the best of British and how we can support Albania to meet European international standards. And the plan that's there now is a really positive one, and British experts will be working together over the coming months and years.
So I'm seeing lots of ways that Albania and the UK are collaborating, and very, very clear, very, very quick results. But in your view, what areas could the two countries collaborate more in? Trade, tourism? I don't know. You tell me.
So over the next year, we will continue to intensify all the areas that we've got already underway. But I think ones, as you say, that we could do more on. We've started, but there's definitely a lot more we can do. In the joint communique last year, we agreed that university partnerships would be one key. And education is crucial.
Yes.
As I said, we're doing support to schools, but actually universities. We have fantastic Albanian and British universities. And by collaborating together, we can really move that forward. So the Prime Minister had a university roundtable discussion when he was in London for his guest of government official visit in March this year. We will be following that up with more sort of focused agreements with universities. Already we have a number underway, whether in healthcare, in cybersecurity, in investigative journalism, in a range of fields. And what we're trying to do is match and partner universities. So education will be a key part of the future relationship. Economic issues as well. The British Chamber of Commerce now has been launched with British businesses, British linked businesses, championing how we can make more economic connections. And already trade has doubled this year compared to last year and doubled compared to the previous year. Uh-huh. So the upward trajectory, albeit on a low base, is moving in the right way. And during the Prime Minister's visit to London, we also announced a doubling of UK export finance, £4 billion available to support major infrastructure, renewable energy projects here. So discussions are underway about that. But that's another area I really want to activate. It's going to be for business to, you know, do their business deals and commercial arrangements, but governments can support that. And that's what I'm determined to do.
This was going to be another one of my questions about trade. But let's talk about tourism, because I found it funny this year. Not funny, but, you know, the same media that were writing terrible things about Albanians a year ago, come summer, we're like, Albania's the new Maldives, best place in
Absolutely.
Europe. You have to go on holiday there, you know, which is true, of course. But it was quite a switch, wasn't it? And we saw lots of British people coming to Albania for holidays, which is fantastic. Is the embassy involved in developing tourism? Is it an area that the embassy wants to focus on, or are you going to just let it sort of happen holistically?
So when I first arrived, I could see that Albania was fantastic. And, you know, I hadn't known Albania. Most people hadn't known Albania. And what's been really positive is, as you say, that now Albania has this fantastic reputation as one of these unexplored, beautiful places with amazing tourism.
We were trendsetters. We were here before it was cool.
Well, exactly. And literally, and I think, you know, your voice encouraging others is an important part of that. And that was something that I sought to do. And I talked to, as you know, I ran our global campaign on media freedom. So I have a lot of connections in the UK media. And I encouraged all sorts of different British journalists to think about actually coming and reporting on Albania. I don't need to do that anymore because that has now been lodged very clearly as, you know, Albania is the place to come. I think the challenge now is how to unlock the tourism potential. And that's going to be down to making sure that there's the right labour supply of workers in the tourism sector. Obviously, the government is focusing on infrastructure. As I mentioned, there's UK potential financial support that could be made available if that's helpful. And also making sure that we continue to show that actually, yes, there may be some challenges, as we saw and we discussed around migration, but it's much more than that. And really, we need to focus on these positives as well. So it's not so much for the British Embassy to be promoting Albania as a tourism destination, but definitely we will support the Albanian government and the Albanian Embassy in London to do that.
And what about your friends and family or people you know that have sort of come here, maybe not because you told them to come, or they not people who've necessarily come to see you, but people you know that have come to Albania, what have they said about it afterwards to you?
They've been blown away by the positives. I mean, I think we all know, I mean, there's a unique aspect. I think there are many countries where hospitality is good, but I think that Albania is very special. And I think it goes back to some of the challenging past where, you know, you didn't have people able to come and visit. But even before that, you've got centuries of traditions of welcoming people in Albanian society, and the principle of Besa and the other traditions as well are part of that. And so when we as non-Albanians come here, the greeting, the welcome we have, even when I'm just driving off the beaten track and just go into a little back of the way place and find a little restaurant or cafe, the owners are always coming round, welcoming you, introducing you to their family and so on. And that's really special. And I think that will also be part of the importance of tourism, actually, because obviously there's a tendency to think, oh, let's do modern stuff. But actually the real benefit will be if Albania can capture the positives of the traditions and the culture and bring those to life for visitors. And then that strength of hospitality will really shine through.
It's definitely one of its biggest selling points. You know, I say to people, I travel by bus around Albania, like Fergon, because it's always a wild ride, literally, you know, but people sit and they talk to me, they ask me where I'm from, you know, I get into all these conversations. And then I say to people, you know, if you sit on the tube in London and you try to strike up a conversation with someone,
they'll think that you want something.
You're gonna get arrested.
Exactly.
It's a very different culture. It's definitely one of the biggest selling points. Right. I want to ask some questions which are a bit more sensitive, and then I promise we'll circle back to something a bit lighter. Sure. I wanted to ask you about the measures that were levied against the former Prime Minister and President Sali Berisha.
Sure.
So there were whispers, and I've seen a few articles in the media recently, that there may be other individuals that could potentially be subject to similar measures in the future. Is this correct, or is it just speculation?
So I will answer that, but just let me set the context, because
yes,
the UK is really clear that we stand with our friends in Albania and the wider Western Balkan region in the fight against criminality and corruption. And the reason for that, you know, corruption is really corrosive on society. Not only does it mean that it works against the rule of law and good governance, but it also denies citizens the services that they need, the jobs, the support and opportunities that they deserve. So we are determined to help those who are also determined to make a difference in this field. And that's why we're fully supporting Albania's justice system, in particular organisations like the Special Prosecutor against corruption and serious criminality, SPAC. And that really, we will intensify our efforts to make sure that if there's anything we can do on prosecutions, law enforcement, investigations, we're supporting that effort. Because the best thing is if justice can be applied within the country here. We also applaud and support the tireless work of investigative journalists. It's really important that the media and civil society organisations can hold to account institutions, the government and others, and shed light on these important issues. And then as the UK, we also have a number of disruptive tools and measures that we will continue to apply. Those can be utilised by ministers, like we did in July last year against a number of individuals. And we also have another powerful tool, the Global Anti-Corruption Sanctions Regime, which is designed to combat serious corruption around the world. And so we will continue to use all levers at our disposal, where appropriate, to tackle corrupt actors, whether that's in the Western Balkans or globally. You asked about Whether there is going to be further action, the UK will take further action when it is deemed appropriate and when it meets the requirements of all our legal frameworks. But we don't comment specifically on future sanctions designations, as to do so would actually reduce their impact.
Of course. Now, the other question I want to ask you on this, and this is more something I... Because when these measures happened last year, there was a huge amount of speculation and disinformation in the media. And I want to ask you if you can clarify, not specific to anybody, but when measures, if measures are enforced against somebody, and I was trying to explain, it's not like a court process. You don't have to present your evidence, your case, etc. This is something that the government has the sovereign right to do. Can you, in a nutshell, explain the process of this whole proof concept, you know, whether the government has to provide public proof for enforcing these measures, or whether it's just something you have the right to do?
So I can't go into more than is set out publicly already, which is clear that we have these tools at our disposal. They are for ministers to decide, and they are subject to the usual British legal frameworks in terms of how they're applied. And we don't comment, as you say, on individual cases. But what I can say is that we are committed to disrupting the links between criminality, corruption and politics. And we will use disruptive tools where that's needed.
That's fine. Thank you for answering the question. Now, I promise, as promised, we will go to something a bit lighter. Now, I want to just ask you a couple of more general questions about your personal experiences in Albania, so we can finish on a more positive note. So what I want to ask... what you expected before you came to Albania, and after your time here so far, how those expectations have been met or surpassed or changed in any way?
So the great privilege of being ambassador here is I get to travel around the whole country and to meet everyone across the range of society. But the most inspiring part, as I'm sure you've experienced too, is talking to young people. So I really have benefited from hearing their views, their aspirations, but also their frustrations. And that helps me to make sure that what I do, what the British government does, the British Embassy does, really is trying to meet those aspirations for young people here. We've just launched the Next Generation report, which actually has been done by the British Council to capture the views of young people. So maybe we should, after you've had a chance to read that, which I'll send to you, we can actually talk about, you know, how can we meet the needs of young people. But the other thing that's really struck me is just the beauty and diversity of the whole country. I mean, the variety in what is a relatively small country is extraordinary.
Yes.
So I have loved it, whether it's the coastal experiences, as you said earlier, the mountains. I'm going hiking this weekend again in the north and near Shkodra. You know, it's a real joy to get out and about as an individual, but also to see the joy that that brings to other people. And I think Albania has a wonderful, special nature that is a real pleasure to be here.
I was looking the other day at the traditional clothes, and I was trying to think, what do we have in the UK that's similar? And I couldn't think... Okay, in Wales, they have... The women have a...
Well, I'm half Scottish, so, you know, kilts we have
kilts,
as well.
Yes,
so.
But then I was trying to think, is there an English traditional dress?
Morris dancing is probably
the
closest.
This is the thing I could think of. And I was like, I don't think I want to walk around with bells hanging off me and, you know... but then you compare that to Albania, where every village... Like even just 20 houses, you know.
Very special traditions and
music,
and,
dance, food, even dialect and accent, different kind of clothes that you can identify just... And this is fascinating to me, because I was like, yeah, Morris dancing doesn't really cut it.
Well, one of the things that I'm really delighted about is that I'm lucky that before becoming ambassador, I got the chance to learn Albanian. And of course, it's not just about learning the language, but also helps you to have more insights into the culture. Yeah. And then... being here, of course, I'm able to converse in Albanian as well, which helps me to reach a wider and talk to a wider array of people. So that's been a real privilege. But it's also made me really appreciate the culture here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people have really elsewhere understood the richnesses here. And so the more that's done to bring that to life, and also to help Albanians feel really proud of these different aspects of culture and show that off to the world really positively. That, I think, is going to be, you know, part of this next period.
And I want to ask you as well, when your mandate comes to an end and the time comes that you have to leave Albania, two questions. What do you want your legacy to be? How do you want people to remember you? And two, what will you take with you from Albania?
So two things. First, I'm not finishing soon. I've got almost another year to go. So I will be continuing all my efforts over the next period. And even once I finish in Albania, I'm really looking forward to coming back as a visitor.
Good.
Because I have so many friends here now. Yeah. I love the country. I will continue, I hope, to be a small A ambassador for Albania for the future in whatever guise I end up doing in the future. But I think the thing I'm proudest of is the extraordinary impact that we've had for both countries, for both British and Albanian citizens, in a relatively short space of time. And we see that in the transformation of the bilateral relationship, encapsulated in the joint communique last year, but now we're celebrating 1 year on the impact we've achieved through that, and broadening the relationship, elevating it, and making sure that it covers the whole range of things that do meet the aspirations of young people. And that's, for me, is the key.
And on a personal level, what are you going to take away? What bit of Albania will you take with you? What have you learned here? What has touched you? What has changed you through being here?
I think it's the way that Albanians deal with others. Mm-hmm. What I would wish is that maybe some Albanians dealt with other Albanians with the same love and care, support and welcome that Albanians show to foreigners and to British visitors. And I think that's the sort of thing that I'll take away, is that when you do open your heart, bring people into your home, it just creates the sort of world that I enjoy living in.
Yes.
And that is something I think we should all be encouraging much more.
Another question. What thing about Albania surprises people the most when you tell them? Mine is, Albania is really safe. There is nowhere in this country I wouldn't walk as a woman alone any time of day or night. People are surprised to hear that.
The statistics show that.
Yeah, I mean,
Albania
safe.
Is the safest country in Europe from a perspective of personal security and robbery. If only the issues around organised crime and corruption were tackled, then this would be the best country in the world.
Yes.
And that is the thing that I hope we will also make inroads to together. But no, I think the thing that surprises people is the diversity across the country, because I think people don't realise that one small area can have such amazing coastlines and beaches, amazing mountains, amazing rivers, amazing diversity of places, but also, as you said, the amazing culture of people. And that's definitely what my family, friends and I have experienced ourselves.
It's like a treasure trove. Like,
really,
you really
is.
Don't know what you're expecting. And the last question I have to ask, because only because every interview I've ever done, people ask me this question as well. Favourite place in Albania?
So I'm not going to single out a favourite place, because otherwise everywhere else would...
there'll be rioting outside the embassy.
but I have a particular affection to the places that I've spent time most in. And of course, I mentioned learning Albanian. That was partly in Shkodra for 7 weeks. So that's been a particularly special moment where, you know, I was learning about things. But I love Tirana. I love places across the country. I've been down to Korçë. I've been to Gjirokastër and Berat. Berat has the history and this extraordinary...
It just looks like a postcard.
It's unique in the world. Yeah. But there are so many of these unique places. So I think that's what's so special about Albania. So not one place, but several.
Favourite food?
Favourite food? Burek.
Burek.
Seriously.
You can't go wrong.
And again, different types of burek.
Yes. That's a very, very good choice. And that will keep everybody happy as well. No one's going to feel that their particular food has been missed out. Alistair, thank you very much. This has been very interesting, especially for me as a Brit who is pretty much Albanian now.
Well, and I may be the formal ambassador of the United Kingdom to Albania, but actually you do that as an informal ambassador every day. Sure. So thanks to you, and thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
As a Brit living in Albania, that was really interesting to see how things have changed from this time last year, 1 year after the joint communique was signed between the British and the Albanian government. But that is all for this week. You can catch us on Euronews Albania every Saturday on our YouTube channel or across all major podcasting platforms. Mirupafshim.